Snowball Spa. You want good words? Data Languager.
Talk real sports with a real man.
Come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
And now, here's the be-all, end-all, know-it-all of high school, college, and pro sports. Aaron Skinny Kalk with The Skinny on Sports.
We're talking about practice, man. I'm the MVP.
Good Wednesday morning out there, Western Oklahoma. Welcome to The Skinny on Sports right here on 98.1 FM, The Sports Animal. Coming up on the show today, we're going to hear from head coach, Elk City head football coach Zach Maynard at the end of the show. Get his thoughts about a bunch of different topics heading into the season opener coming up on Friday night against the Altus Bulldogs. Altus traveling up Highway 6 to play here at Big Elk Stadium. It's going to be a lot of fun. We'll ask him some different questions about how the summer went, thoughts on the scrimmage, what Altus is going to bring to the table. So that'll be coming up right around 9:45-ish, just toward the end of the show. I teased this yesterday. We didn't get to it. Building the perfect quarterback in the NFL. And so what criteria and who would you give that attribute to your perfect quarterback? Who would you take it from? So, like, I had five categories.
Does it have to be currently playing quarterbacks?
Yes. It can't be all time. Oh, you win all time. Jared didn't understand the – I didn't make it clear.
Thanks, thanks, teacher.
The assignment.
You didn't make
Turns
it clear.
Turns out you're going to get an F.
You ever had that? You ever done that when you went to class and then you realized you did the project wrong or your homework wrong? Like, what?
No.
And there's just that. Yeah, I guess I'm. Yeah. Hey, D's get degrees, buddy.
Well, Jared, that's why the Lord gave you two ears and one mouth, because you're supposed to listen twice as much as you talk.
Go on. Moving
all right,
on.
So Jared's going to build his all-time quarterback.
No.
I'll build one for the current
follow the rules.
Players. Baker Mayfield's going to start. Will that have any impact? I heard Mark asking this question yesterday, and I think it's a great one. How much more importance is there on that opener with Baker playing Cleveland around here versus throughout the entire country? I'll explain what I'm trying to ask there.
Okay.
KD staying put. Yay, Josiah. Yay. Not acquiescing to a superstar, saying no. No. Oh, okay. I guess I got to play here.
Yeah.
Will we see this change philosophy from owners towards superstar players?
Certainly hope so.
Of course. Now, I hate that I even asked this question, but you know it's coming. Because Josiah put his foot in the sand, drew a line, and put his foot down and said no. You have to honor the contract that you signed that you haven't even started playing yet for 4 years. Who? Because I know it's going to happen. Some member of the Libby media is going to compare this to something that is just abhorrent. It doesn't belong in the conversation. And you know what that word is?
I don't want to say it.
Slavery.
I don't want to say it.
I can hear it. Can't you just read that that title?
Of course.
How does this make the Nets? Can they actually contend? And then also, right here off the top, just hot off the press, the PGA Tour, Jay Monahan, the commissioner, after that meeting last week, Tiger and Ricky flew up to the BMW to meet with the top 20-ish players that were in the field. Jay Monahan has announced several changes to the PGA Tour structure, clearly to combat their enemies at LIV Golf. And I'll tell you what those are. Unbelievable things that are changing. And you wonder, where did all the money come from? And I'm going to ask a really uncomfortable question after we talk about it just a little bit. 225-9698 is the phone or the text line. 225-9698. Give us a call. Shoot us a text. We'll talk about any of those things. Whatever else is on your mind, feel free to chime in at 225-9698. If you're going to be outside the listening area, a couple ways to stay in touch with the show. Log on to KADSAM.com or download the Paragon app. The app has it all. Three radio stations. The Penny News. a brand new edition of The Penny News. Hit the website last night at midnight. Check it out at thepennynews.com. You'll be able to pick up a free copy of the print edition of The Penny News in some locations this afternoon. By this time tomorrow or so, everywhere that has The Penny News will have the new one. Also, Big Elk TV and Paragon TV, both online Friday, couple of days away, just two short days away from Friday Night Lights here in the state of Oklahoma. Big Elk's hosting Altus. That'll be a 6:30 pregame for a 7 o'clock kick. And then Merritt travels to Hinton, which is a top 10 team in every poll around the state in Class A. Similar there with the 7 o'clock kick between Merritt and Hinton. So that's all inside that Paragon app for free. So download that thing and you can catch everything we do. Also, we've got the Skinny on Sports podcast, iTunes, KADSAM.com there. So you can check out a show if you missed it entirely. What's up, Jared?
How are you?
I am wonderful. How are you?
I'm good. I'm real well. I'm going to be honest.
Be honest.
We're getting close to football on Friday night, and my anxiety level is kind of shooting up a little bit. Making sure all of our ducks for Big Elk TV, you make sure that's all ready to go.
I'll feel a lot better after like 1:30 today. If we can make that work how we want it to work for stats and enhance the product for the viewer,
sure.
I will feel really, really good about that.
Yeah.
And that we have everything ready to roll.
Yeah. I mean, we just this week got another new piece of equipment, which I dived right into yesterday, which excites me, but also kind of makes me nervous. So, but that's fun about broadcasting. That's fun about what we do.
Oh, no doubt.
Being live and making sure, and we strive to put the best product on the screen and on the radio. So, at least that's my drive. And I'm a little nervous, but excited, ready to go, and excited about, and then overall, excited about football.
Yeah, no doubt.
School football returning.
High school football starts tomorrow, really, in the state of Oklahoma. I'm sure there's Thursday games.
I'm
then
sure
you got
there
the
is.
Friday
yep.
games. Then a smidgen of college football on Saturday, headlined by the Cornhuskers and Northwestern over at Ireland. People will watch that. Mm-hmm. That's one of those games, and it's pretty smart to be on this weekend. That's a game that next weekend gets lost in the minutiae of everything going on. This weekend, people are going to watch the Cornhuskers and the Northwestern Wildcats because it's the only game in town.
Right.
One
and
of the only
it,
games in town.
If it was week five between those two at 11:30, nobody's going to watch. But because it's the only show in town and it's at a cool exotic location.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Sign me up. I plan on watching it.
No, for sure. At least a little bit of it.
I was looking ahead at schedules last night, planning out my watching schedule and everything. And you know what weekend looks really good? Really fun.
October 8th?
No.
Which one?
September 17th, 18th. Let me go back. 16th, 17th, 18th. September. Elk City at Carl Albert.
Yeah, that's right.
OU at Nebraska. And then Cincinnati at Dallas on Sunday.
Oh, how fun.
How fun would that weekend's going to be? I can't wait.
All right, I mentioned the PGA Tour. Has countered.
I think the biggest news there is it looks like Tiger Woods and Shooter McGavin are going to team up.
Yeah, and Shooter is friends with Rory also.
Oh.
Matter of fact, there could be an announcement between Rory and Tiger. They've done something as well.
Did you see that tweet?
Yeah, something's going on there. And I guess maybe today is when we find out what that is. But from the tour itself, which would make sense with what I'm about to tell you.
Right.
So with the tour itself, right at the first of this LIV Golf, obviously catching on, they announced that they were going to have 8 elevated events. And all that means is pay more money.
Sure. You have to.
They announced that in June. And so 4 of those will be within the regular season of the FedEx Cup, 4 outside. And so now there's going to be an additional 4 to that 8. Inside the FedEx Cup regular season. And all of those feature at least an average purse of $20 million. So basically 4 more bigger tournaments, bigger paid tournaments. Now, that with that caveat, for the first time ever, the top players have committed to play in those 12. So the eight that were announced back in June as elevated events, these new four, wherever they're going to fall on the schedule, they don't know which ones those are yet, consulting the players with that information. Sometime in the next month to month and a half, we'll know what those other four are. But these top players, and top players defined by somebody kind of at the top 20-ish in the world, so they're going to play those 12 events, plus FedEx Cup, three other FedEx Cup events of their choosing, meaning any like regular season, any of those that they choose. Then the players, and then the four majors as they qualify. That's gonna bring the minimum to 20 instead of 15. There's been a long-standing play 15 rule on the PGA Tour where to continue to own your card, no matter how well you do. I mean, you could win 10 of the 15 event, 10 of 14, but if you don't play 15 and you don't have a medical reason, you're out.
Right.
That number's going to 20, which just elevates the fields consistently more throughout the year to see the best guys guaranteed to be at 20 locations. So that's an extra five that these guys are committing to. And some of them, you know, they're not all going to be the same tournaments with those three that they can choose. But at least there's going to be different places around the PGA Tour schedule and different locations, different golf courses, and fans, more importantly, that get to see guys they may have never seen.
Mm-hmm.
So there's that. The Player Impact Program, which was a way to incentivize the top guys on social media on, you know, who was impacting, you know, fans. That pool will now reward 20 players with, instead of $50 million, that goes up to $100 million. That's just another way to pay the top guys more money. And you got to be. And you're probably thinking, well, what about the other guys? Here is maybe the biggest thing out of this, other than the guys playing more game, more tournaments. So beginning in 2023, they're going to debut what's called the Earnings Assurance Program. So all fully exempt members, that starts with the Korn Ferry Tour guys that are qualified, all the way through the top player in the world, they're going to be guaranteed $500,000. Rookies. So that's basically a draw, meaning you're getting $500,000 no matter what. If you earn $300,000. The tour will make up that $200,000. Now, here's the thing. The rookies and other players return, I guess everybody, but rookies most importantly, they will have the option to receive that money up front. So they can be fronted $500,000 and then start getting paid once your earnings exceed $500,000. That is unbelievably different than what it's been. Because what it's been is, you got these expenses. If you don't make cuts, you're losing. Now, they've got that. And this. Non-exempt members. So like that, the guys that were 126 to 150 in the FedEx and further below, they're going to start a travel stipend program. Which basically ensures they're not out anything. They're going to get $5,000 to assist with the travel costs and tournament-related expenses, food, lodging, that kind of thing, for every missed cut. So even the guys that aren't on the tour that were just kind of, what would you call that? They're not fully exempt. They have like partial status, I guess you could say. They're not going to be out money for missing cuts. And then there's some other stuff that goes, you know, with exemptions and all that. But the headlines are the top players will play 20 events instead of 15 minimum. And guys are guaranteed $500,000 a year.
So, obviously, to sum it all up, to better to keep guys here.
Yeah, incentivize them not to take the live money.
Right.
They're giving now. The money isn't the same.
That's where I was going to go. Where is this compared to what you can make at the live?
Of course, it's hard to say for somebody that just graduated off the Korn Ferry Tour.
Right.
We haven't heard figures for guys like that. We've heard figures for the older guys that have made a bunch of money on the PGA Tour that are now kind of looking at this as, I would assume, a retirement plan for Live Golf.
Yeah.
But this is basically trying to match as close as they can money with the big guys.
Yeah.
But then also offering that carrot to the guys that instead of, hey, if you don't make cuts, you don't make money coming onto the tour for the first time, you got to have $1 million. And you can take it now to assist with all the costs that go along with it.
Mm-hmm. And feel good about it.
Well, yeah.
You're not questioning where the money's coming from.
That's right. That's exactly right. You know, and excuse me. And so you get $500K from the tour right off the bat, and then you've got, you know, deals with golf club manufacturers, clothing maybe.
Sure. Yep.
You know, you're looking at $750,000 to start with. It goes a long way.
Yeah.
If you can make it go all the way.
Absolutely.
You know, and then, of course, you have a couple of good weeks. All of a sudden, you start making money on top of what they've already, you know, the assurances were, the guarantees were.
Mm-hmm.
So that's just a way to try to combat what LIV Golf has done. Now, here's the uncomfortable question. Do the current guys on the PGA Tour owe Phil Mickelson an attaboy?
That's a good question. Maybe not publicly. Or not going to
at
publicly.
At least, thank you.
Should they? Maybe a little bit, yeah.
Because here's the thing. It's obvious this.
But it's obvious
the money was already there.
Yeah.
They didn't just generate it.
They've had it. Was that his?
Of course that was his deal. The tour is screwing us because they're holding on to all this money.
Yeah.
That ought to be ours because we're the ones driving it.
So he's going, I'm going to go over there, put the pressure on PGA to pay these guys. I mean, honestly, was that his goal or was it just, there's money here, I'm going to go there. Not thinking what the end result could be or what this result could be. It's not the end result. You know what I mean? Kind of inadvertent consequences. You're like, oh, well. So what I'm asking is, should he take credit?
Heck yes, he should take credit. You're welcome. I can't believe he hadn't already tweeted it. You're welcome. I took all the arrows, and trust me, I do not like being on Phil Mickelson's side of anything. If anybody's listened to this show to any stretch, they know that. But think about the arrows he's taken, not only for the LIV guys, but now he's taking them for the PGA Tour guys.
You know how much credit I've taken at home for accidentally doing something?
No, but I...
I meant to do that, honey.
I do believe that this was his thing. I mean, here's the deal. It was easy to give up his time on the PGA Tour and to never get to play again. It's easy for him to do it because he was going to get $250 from the Saudis.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I do think he believed in this enough to do it, to basically alienate himself from the game of golf. Now, he had a financial incentive to do that, obviously. But, I can't believe he hadn't already said, you're welcome. And to my point, I just got a text, that's the nicest thing I've ever heard you say about Phil. And it probably is.
That's why I'm laughing.
It probably is. So that's the PGA Tour's counter to LIV Golf. Very interesting. Got to give him a little bit of credit, I guess, for something that everybody would assume is stale and old and not willing to change, at least noticing that there was going to be a problem. There was a problem and trying to fix it as best they could. Also, Kevin Durant. How about Joe Tsai? Joe Tsai is the owner of the Brooklyn Nets. So in the past, five, 6 months, let's say, Kevin Durant has either walked into his office or made it known, I want to trade. And he said, no. And then Kevin Durant said, okay, really doesn't look like you're going to trade me, does it? I want a new coach and a new GM. And Josiah said, no. And then a couple weeks later, he goes, dang, he's not doing anything about that either. Okay, I guess I'm going to play basketball for the Nets. And now it looks like everybody's kumbayaing around, all in, to be the best Nets we can be. How much do you trust this, that it's actually going to come to fruition? And let's say Kevin Durant, how much do you trust that he will finish the season in Brooklyn?
Honestly, I feel like he will because of Josi and his unwillingness to back down to those demands. Why would he change his mind in the middle of a season? Unless they're just absolutely horrible.
Or he starts getting fair offers.
Or, yeah, realistic offers. Yeah.
That's right. And I think that's one of the easiest ways that he could be this way is because I guarantee you the offers he was getting for Kevin Durant. I mean, think about the ones we heard people saying.
Yeah.
And acting like the Nets would be dumb to not do it. I mean, the Phoenix rumors, and it was DeAndre Ayton and, like, Jay Crowder for Kevin Durant? What?
Nope.
I'd love to know what Memphis's offer was. You know, they have the five first-round picks.
Five first-rounders. It's
which aren't going to be any good because they're going to still – everybody was reporting that they wouldn't – obviously, they're not giving up Ja for Kevin. You know, he's not in the deal. And then they weren't going to give up Jaren Jackson or Desmond Bane either. So, okay. Hey, you know what? I've got a trade for Kevin Durant, too. I'll give you Sean and Lexi. I mean, really? Nobody's taking that.
I feel like you just insulted Sean and Lexi.
Sean, for obvious reasons, Lexi's never here.
She's probably listening.
No, just the point. I mean, I'm just making a point.
I know what you're saying.
What was trying to, to get Kevin Durant.
It just didn't add up. The only way you're going to get Kevin Durant is if you superstar for a superstar. Honestly, that's...
I mean, think about...
Who is equivalent to Kevin Durant?
Well, I mean...
LeBron?
It's always going to look a little bit favored to whoever gets Kevin Durant.
Yeah.
Because it's just...
In the immediate future.
Or at least you're going to try. But, I mean, what a joke.
Yes.
Some of those deals and people... I mean, come on. So, good for Josiah.
Well, it's fishing, you know? Okay, let's see if they bite.
Good for Josiah.
Absolutely. That's why
here's the thing. I think a lot of those other owners or the GMs on the other teams were throwing out those offers because everyone just assumes that because the star player wants out of somewhere, that the ownership is going to acquiesce to those demands. Mm-hmm. And Josiah said, no. A word not used to superstars in the NBA very much since the decision. No.
It's refreshing. And I know your next question is, will other GMs follow suit?
Yeah, other GMs and owners.
And owners. Will they follow suit and tell other superstars, no, you sign the contract, you're going to honor it.
What do you think?
You're not going to bully us to change our coaching staff or management decisions. We're not doing it. You work for us.
What do you think?
I certainly hope so.
So do I.
So maybe this is a crack in the dam. But – we're going to see still more superstars want to play with other guys and team up and a lot of movement every summer. But I think it might start – and now it's going to have to take – yeah, for sure, he did it. Now it's going to have to take more to do it. And who has the guts to do that?
That's right. And here's the deal. I do think Kevin Durant is a special circumstance. You know why? Because I really think he loves basketball more than he loves the fame and fortune that basketball gives him.
Yeah.
There's not very many of those guys out there.
So he knew.
He likes playing basketball Kevin Durant more than being Kevin Durant, if that makes sense.
Right.
And
agreed.
It's a special case. And I think we talked about it. I know I said it a long way back. Hey, if you want to try it, what's he going to do, not play? Kevin Durant, he wouldn't know what to do if he didn't play basketball.
And another part of this is this is a time in his career where eventually it's going to be on the backside. You know what I mean? Like, sure. I think it's, I mean, he is, what,
34.
So eventually he's going to, I think that's in his mind too. It's like, I can't not play. I'm running out of seasons. Who knows when my last season's going to be? Who knows when suddenly my production goes down?
That's right. Yeah, the leverage was aspect. Actually with the Nets, and that's not the case with a lot of these, or maybe not with the Nets, but they could talk themselves into having mm-hmm. some. And a lot of these guys and a lot of the owners and GMs around the league, they're so scared to death of these superstar players, not only the one they've got, but then what the one they've got will tell the other ones in a potential free agency situation to try to get somebody back. You know, everybody's so scared of these guys. And finally, Joe Tsai said no. And it's awesome.
Could it, final question on this, could it backfire on him? Could it be, you mentioned free agency. What if somebody says, I don't want to go there? He'll tell me no if I want to leave.
Who cares?
I want freedom. I don't want to be locked in there.
Who cares? In my mind, because you know what? The contracts and the way that they've tried to build the team around 4 years of Kevin Durant from starting this year, they matter now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
They matter. So, okay.
Conversely, I could say, oh, well, I know Kevin Durant's going to be there for
exactly.
the rest of his contract. I want to be there too.
Exactly. Well, this guy's not just going to trade him on a whim like some of the others. I really will. I really get to play with Kevin Durant for the next three years after this one or what have you. I think I see what you're saying, mm-hmm. and it definitely could.
I mean, like in the long run.
Yeah, it
you
definitely
know.
Could. But as far as right now,
he's the guy who said no to Kevin Durant. He'll tell me no. I mm-hmm. want freedom.
Maybe.
I want the ability to ring chase.
Yeah, maybe.
But good for him.
Yeah. Thank you, Joe Tsai.
Yep.
Exactly on the text line. Finally got a taste of what real life is like and not getting all your demands. That's exactly right. I mean, he was trying to force a trade before he had ever played a game under an extension that he signed for 4 years. Almost unprecedented, even by NBA superstar standards. Yes. As college football approaches, you know what that means, Jared?
We get to pick games, and I get to ascend to the top of that leaderboard and beat you and talk trash every Monday.
Well, that's probably not going to happen, but I do know what you're talking about. You're talking about the Western Oklahoma Realty College Pick'em. You can sign up through ESPN's website. Just click the Fantasy tab. Join our group. The group is called The Skinny on Sports. Or we've got a link on our Facebook page, The Skinny on Sports Facebook page as well, that'll take you right to our group. Sign up and play. Only 19 of you. So there's only 18 that are going to get beat by me so far. So you might as well go ahead and add to the list. People before property is the motto of Western Oklahoma Realty. Appreciate Tyler Harrison, Robbie Allen, and all the gang down at Western Oklahoma Realty for getting involved again with us this year.
Yeah, thanks for everybody for signing up so far, except Billy, because he doesn't know how to.
Oh, we've got a Bill 398543. I wonder if that's him.
Oh, maybe it is. Bill?
Bill.
He goes by Bill?
It must be serious.
Oh, he's serious now.
He's serious Bill.
Bill. Bill.
All right. Anyways. Signed up. Skinny on Sports, Western Oklahoma Realty College Pick'em. It's against the spread. It's 10 games every week. You have until next week to sign up. Next Saturday, or the first. We don't have to pick these first games. Next Saturday, the first full weekend of college football. And it'll run all the way from 9-2, which is September 2nd, through 12-4, which I assume will be the conference title game weekend. It seemed like we picked the conference title games, didn't we? Yeah, we did.
Yeah, it was
on
there.
That's when it ended, was conference title game Saturday. All right, so I task us. Oh, I like that.
I love the trash talk.
On the text message. ESPN emailed me and said it wasn't fair I was playing Pick'em, but thought it could be a learning experience for you too. You, us too. And the rest of you as well. Come have a learn. Some people like to learn. Come have a learning experience with the college Pick'em. Okay, so I task us with an ESPN article from earlier in the week. It was basically 12 categories for NFL quarterbacks and ranking the top 10 in each of those 12 categories.
Where was this? I just couldn't find. I found the tiers. Is that the same thing?
Go to the NFL page. I saw it earlier, but you have to scroll down a little bit because they've been firing stuff out.
Well, yeah.
A ton. Here it is. It says, our quarterback council. And here were the folks. Matt Bowen, Tim Hasselbeck, Mina Kimes, Matt Miller, Jordan Reed, Lewis Riddick, Mike Tannenbaum, Seth Walder, Field Yates, and a couple of guys from Football Outsiders, Aaron Schatz and Derek Clausen. Arm strength, accuracy, touch, mechanics, field vision, decision making, compete level, toughness, in the pocket, scrambling, rushing, and second reaction were the 12 different categories that they ranked the top 10 guys in each of those categories.
That's a lot of categories.
There's a lot of categories, some of which that I didn't really care about. So
what categories are you sticking with?
I went with five different categories.
All right.
I went with arm strength. I went with legs.
Okay, got those.
I went
two.
With vision. Well, like put, field okay. vision or, you know.
I did eyes, but
that's
that makes
fine.
The same thing, yeah.
Okay. I did creativity. Kind of making something out of nothing, and I did accuracy. What did you do?
Arm, vision, legs. I did toughness.
Okay.
And this what I felt was different. Might be in the same vein. Heart or drive.
Competitiveness, something like that.
Yeah. Brain. And jokingly, I did hands and put Kenny Pickett there.
Nah. I get it.
But that's what I did.
Okay. So, if I said, okay, Jared, whose arm would you attach to your bionic quarterback?
Well, because I...
Whose arm would you attach?
In arm strength, there's a clear, like, top five players. And it's funny because the names I had in my mind, now I found this list, they're kind of in line with that. But because I've had other guys in different spots, I don't think I could use the same guy twice, can I?
You can if you want.
Oh, well. Changes everything. I like Matthew Stafford, though.
Okay.
And his arm strength.
He has been a guy that's always been regarded as a cannon type guy, mm-hmm. for sure. I went with Josh Allen. And it turns out they were number one, too.
Yeah,
but
I have him somewhere else, but yeah, I agree with it.
It just seems like if you want to talk about who can throw the football the furthest or the hardest, or it feels to me like Josh Allen is that guy right now that has the strongest arm in the NFL.
Yeah.
If you just want to talk about pure arm strength, it feels like you see him on a weekly basis ripping balls into places that you probably shouldn't, but he trusts his arm so much and he can get it there. To where he can find that. So mm-hmm. I went with Josh Allen as far as just attach his arm to my quarterback. Whose legs would you put on there?
I was split, but I went with Kyler Murray. I think if you put him alongside Lamar Jackson, Murray would win a race. So I just basically I was thinking speed, and he's a speedy dude. I went with him. We've seen him create a lot of things and get a lot of first downs so far early in his NFL career using his legs.
I went with the other one. I had Lamar.
Okay.
They just feel, you know,
Jalen. It's wrong, but okay.
Jalen Hurts is another guy.
That, yeah,
you know,
yeah.
just as far as running ability, but I went with Lamar. He seems as electric as Kyler is. I think you're probably right. Kyler's probably straight line speed is faster, but it seems like Lamar can get out and make people miss a little bit differently than what Kyler does. So I went with Lamar. So you had eyes, so vision, same
vision.
Thing. Who'd you go with there?
Mahomes.
So did I. Interesting. How come?
Sometimes he doesn't even use his eyes when
he
throws
exactly
it.
That's exactly what I was thinking. It's so funny you said that. Because I was thinking, you know what? His eyes are so good that he can be looking at somebody and throw it somewhere else.
Yeah. But the vision, that was one of his attributes coming out of college, too. He had great vision. And that also kind of goes alongside with a really good brain, too. But he was, you know, coach's kid and really smart. But, yeah, just his vision for the field. It seems like it's way ahead than the defense at times. Like he knows, okay, I know exactly, you know, throw it to this spot, see this, see that. And even pre-snap stuff too. That's kind of vision, right? You're looking at what the
snap
lineman is. Yeah. So that's why I went with Mahomes.
I did too, for a lot of those same reasons. It seems like when you think about guys that, you know, if you're watching a Chiefs game, it doesn't feel like you ever get to see the high angle and they go, oh, man, look at this guy who was running wide open.
Yeah.
It doesn't seem like you ever see that with Mahomes. And so I was the same way. What else did you have?
Toughness.
I did not put toughness on the list. I have a feeling that's where you're going to put Josh Allen.
That is where I'm putting Josh Allen. And it's almost a fault because he will run like a bull in a china shop, just going running downhill, going forward, and when he's, you know, reaching for that first down, jumping, going, you know, that's you don't want to see that from your
Not a ton.
You want him to get down or throw it away or check down. Don't tuck it and run and then try to run other guys over. It's good now in your early part of your career. Eventually that catches up with you. Ask Roethlisberger.
And that's what I'm concerned about with the new – it feels like dual threat is becoming more – you know, maybe Brady is the last guy you see just standing back there, and Stafford probably a little bit in that vein as well. But it doesn't feel like those are kind of the last guys that are just standing back there throwing the football, right?
Yeah.
I think that's the toll that it can take on you. We don't really know yet.
Right.
I had creativity, and I went with Aaron Rodgers. It feels like Aaron Rodgers can make something out of nothing better than everybody else. And then I also went accuracy with Tom Brady. He's been deadly accurate his whole career.
Yeah, just on my list, that heart drive, you know, mm-hmm. Baker Mayfield always had that heart and that drive, and he always had that chip on his shoulder. And again, he's already been given motivation, and we'll see it week one. I mean, he's gotten the keys, so let's see what he does against his old team. And brain, I went with Tom Brady. I was just looking for a veteran. Tom Brady, I could have thrown Aaron Rodgers in there as well. Just two guys that are obviously winners in this league, veteran guys, and they know how to break down a defense, and they don't have to use necessarily all those other attributes we're talking about. You know, you don't have to muscle it in with your arm strength, which Rodgers does have still.
Sure.
But, you know, or use your legs. You know, they're smart enough to know, stay in the pocket, check down. Everything I said about not running, check down, throw it away, slide, get out of bounds. They're just smart play, and that's why they've won a lot of rings.
All right. Yeah, I think we both along the same track. I mean, you can, and then there's a reason why if we said, okay, who's your top five?
Yeah.
We would probably have the same five in just a little bit different order.
Sure.
You know?
Maybe not Baker Mayfield.
Well, yeah.
The hard drive thing for me, I mean,
that's a different thing.
He's going to be the number one driven quarterback every time he takes the field. Doesn't mean he's the best.
Pleased to be joined now by the head coach of the Elk City Elks football team. It is Mr. Zach Maynard. Zach, how are you today?
I'm good. How are you guys?
Hey, we're doing good. Let's start with the summertime. You know, Coach Meadows was kind of reinstalled lifting weights and conditioning. How did you guys kind of continue that? Or even was there something you saw last year that you wanted to even incorporate more as maybe turning a weakness into a strength from a physical standpoint?
Oh, I think a lot of it was just doing the same things, but doing them repetitively. You know, we added in a couple 7-on-7s, just strictly for experience, get our guys out there a little more, knew that we weren't going to have, you know, that many returning starters. But really, really we just continued to do the same thing, stick with the process, and we may have added a few things here or there, but for the most part, getting kids in there and working hard was the goal.
Everything I've heard, it sounded like the participation all summer long was off the charts.
Yeah, I mean, we averaged 60, 65 kids every week. That's with church camps and sports camps, vacations, whatever it was. It was still average 60, 65 kids a week. You know, we've got roughly 78 guys on the roster right now. So participation was phenomenal, and their work ethic was great.
Another thing that last time you were here, after you accepted the job, you talked about building young men as opposed to just football players. Something I saw this summer that I thought was awesome in that regard was the day after the fireworks display, you had your guys out there helping clean up the park, helping the city crews clean up the park. I thought that was fantastic. Is that just something that came to your mind? How did that come about?
Well, I'm I was talking to the mayor, Nick Archer, about, you know, hey, we'd love to do some community service type things around here. And just, he said, well, hey, well, it's always dirty after the 4th. I said, okay, well, we'll be there the 5th. And so that's what we did. And, you know, we've got lots of kids who want to give back and do things. I mean, last Saturday at the Fit and
yes.
Fun bike ride, we had, you know, 8, 9, 10 kids there helping with that. And so we just enjoy this community, and we want to give back in any way possible.
Do they know how to pick weeds out of my lawn?
There's probably a handful that could probably help there.
Like you mentioned last Saturday, but Friday night, the first time that we got to see the Elks on the field with the scrimmage against El Reno, was there something that you were surprised to see on film that you didn't think you'd see as you watched it live?
Not anything really stuck out to me that I wasn't expecting to see. You know, there was a couple times there where we didn't respond to adversity the way that we should have and would have. And I think a lot of that comes from experience. You can even go back to the team a year ago. There were games and times where we didn't respond the way that we should have when something bad happened. And so that's something that we've got to work on, that we've been preaching to them all week, and obviously we can get that fixed. But for the most part, we saw defensively a lot of guys just flying around, trying to make plays, and offensively knew there was going to be mistakes. You know, when you're trying to get ready for a scrimmage, you don't – you know, we didn't work on El Reno's
right.
defense, and so there's no way to really gauge what they're going to do. And so you saw a couple times schematically, you know, we run a play and it doesn't look good. Well, really, that's because it's a bad play call to what they're doing. But we had it all scripted. Coach Fisher and Coach Eastham and those guys, my assistants, have done a phenomenal job of preparing and getting our kids ready to go in an offense that that is really pretty simple to us. But if you were to sit down and watch it, you would go, I don't even understand how they could function.
Well, yeah, that's where I kind of a back to an off-season question, that transition to that offense. It can be complex and almost anxiety-inducing if you're just watching it. How have your players responded to that transitioning to that offense?
Well, really well. And by all means, it's still a work in progress. It's not going to we're not going to show up Friday night and look like we're going to look week 10
mm-hmm.
Or the first round of playoffs. But a lot of it is still the same. A lot of it's still the core of, we're going to get a football, we're going to hit you in the mouth, we're going to encounter, we're going to run a version of power. A lot of that is all the same. The way that it's being presented, though, is very much different.
Yeah, what do you call it? Because I would call it maybe an inverted wishbone or a flex bone. What do you kind of call it?
Well, back when I got hired, and then I hired Coach Fisher as the offense coordinator, I sat down and said, hey, I want to marry the flex bone, the option, to the eye, to what we've been doing.
Right.
And so the whole goal was just to still be able to see, still be power run game and still confuse people with motions and shifts. And I think that we're on our way. We're obviously not there yet, but we're on our way to – giving people trouble with those things.
But to be clear, not abandoning the pass.
Absolutely not.
Okay.
If you go to, I think we were probably 50-50 run pass mm-hmm. the other night. Now, Friday night, we won't be 50-50. but you keep people on the edge of their
sure.
seat and you get people on their heels in the run game, second and three, yeah, we take a shot. It's just how it is.
Yeah, and you know, with the moving parts, that if people weren't at the scrimmage, there's a lot of ways that the ball can end up on the ground.
Mm-hmm.
I was pretty impressed with the execution from that standpoint. Yeah, sure, there were some certain plays that didn't work just because it was into where the defense was. But as far as the sloppiness and penalties and that kind of stuff, there wasn't a ton of that.
No, I mean, there was a couple pass interferences that I don't necessarily agree with, but that's neither here nor there.
Right.
But no, we didn't put the ball on the ground. And that's just a testament to how our kids have worked in practice. I mean, we've, for 2 weeks we flew around and you know, you do a rep, you do one rep at 50%, and the next rep at 100%, and then comes the game time. Well, your odds of turning the ball over go up exponentially. So we've just practiced hard, preached the plan, and right now it looks good.
Altus comes to town. Similar offensive philosophy from what I could see in their scrimmage against Weatherford. What do you know about the Bulldogs and what's a couple of the challenges that they're going to present to you both offensively and defensively?
Well, anytime somebody runs the option, it's tough. It's one reason why we're doing it. You've got to prepare for the option, and it's not something you see all the time. excuse me. They have, they've got some big offensive linemen. They've got some good skill kids. They're gonna read us, and they're gonna play low, and they're gonna be physical. So we'll have to be buckled up, chin strapped up, and ready to go.
I gotta expand on the, or I want to expand on the schedule itself. We got 5A Altus, Bridge Creek in there, Canadian, Texas, Carl Albert, mm-hmm. and then oh by the way, then there's Clinton, Weatherford, and even Woodward's returning back. You like that tough schedule?
Yeah, I'll tell you, like I told Coach Hunt and everybody else, just mark the field. Mm-hmm. Just mark the field, and we're going to come play, and we're going to give you our best and be happy with it regardless. You know, we don't care who it is. If somebody calls and wants to play, then by golly, we'll go play you because our goal is just to be our best. Our goal is to be our best in the classroom, be our best at practice, be our best in the weight room, be our best on the football field on Friday nights, and whatever else happens – we can live with. If we're at our best, win or lose, we can live with it.
The guys up front are going to have to be a strength of this team on both lines, offensive and defensive line. How do you feel that they've kind of progressed from, all saw significant time last year, mm-hmm. now a bunch of those guys in their last go-around as seniors. How do you feel like they've progressed from last year to this year?
Well, they're all bigger, stronger, faster. It's been unbelievable. All of them squat over 500 pounds. Most of them squat bench over 300. So physically they're better. I think mentally they understand the game better. And obviously defensively there ain't a whole lot if anything has changed defensively, and we've just hit the ground running. They're excellent. They were excellent a year ago. And we rely on them heavily, and so we're excited about where they are right now and where they're headed.
Last year set the bar. I mean, that was a great year, semifinal game, and a lot of people thought that probably could have been the state championship game, the way the title game came out. And now there's a lot of expectations going into this season, as you mentioned. What motivates this team? Is it the drive to get back to where we were last year? Anything outside talk? I mean, what's motivating these guys, if you could tell us?
I think a lot of it is you get a little taste of it and you realize that you want to get there again. And that's a lot of people. I mean, it doesn't matter what it is. You get a taste of success and you want to make sure that you try to repeat that and duplicate that over and over again. And so that's what I think has motivated them throughout the summer. And right now I think that the buzz is there, the feeling is there, and the day we did the brown and white, there were probably 600-700 people there. I think that if they weren't excited before, in which they were, they wouldn't have been in the weight room all summer, that you don't really have an option whether you're going to get excited or work for it now.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever seen cars jam-packed from one end of the practice field to the other, pulled right up to the wire as close as they could get, as it was that Saturday morning, and it was fun being out amongst those guys when they were going head-to-head mm-hmm. and who's the baddest man. We can't leave without asking about the quarterback. Austin Jones was a backup last year to Corey, and really the school guys outside of maybe Garbarino, not a lot of those guys have gotten the ball in their hands in varsity games. But Austin specifically, what are you looking from him here in the early going in these non-district games?
Oh, just to command the huddle, to be in charge, to be the general, make sure that we operate the right way. We won't ask Austin to try to set the world on fire week zero. Not going to. But just to operate, play within himself, do things the right way, make sure his teammates are doing things the right way, we're lined up correct, and just to really make sure that the offense is where it needs to be.
All right, man. Thank you so much for joining us. A weekly thing. I can't wait. This is going to be fun, right?
It'll be a lot of fun.
Head Coach Zach
Maynard. I'm the least confident I've heard him say something.
It's Head Coach Zach Maynard of the Elk City Big Elks. Have Altus coming to town here on Friday night at 7 o'clock. That's going to do it for this Wednesday edition of the Skinny on Sports. We'll be back tomorrow as we get one step closer to the football season on Friday night. Everybody have a great day. Don't forget Western Oklahoma Realty College Pick'em, ESPN's website. We've got a link to it on the Skinny on Sports Facebook page as well. Everybody have a great Wednesday. We'll be back in the morning.
You've been listening to the Skinny on Sports podcast with Aaron Cowan. Be sure to hit that subscribe button to get alerts of when the latest podcast is available. Thanks for listening.
That ball is blistered around.